Welcome to Our Voices, Our Future, the podcast where we amplify the voices driving change and equity within medicine and beyond. Brought to you by the Gender Equity Task Force, a committee of the American Medical Women's Association. We're here to challenge norms, break barriers, and ignite conversations that matter. I'm Meenu Manani, and in each episode, we dive into honest conversations with leaders, change makers, and advocates, working to create a more inclusive and just world. No more silence, no more waiting. It's time for Our Voices, Our Future. Today, we are welcoming Dr. Christina Laporte, who is a board-certified physician in both internal medicine and cardiovascular diseases, with more than 30 years of experience in clinical practice.
Born in Bologna, Italy,
she began her medical journey in the University of Bologna and went on to complete her training at Long Island College Hospital in Brooklyn and the University of California, Los Angeles. After years of dedication to medicine, Dr. Laporte has turned her talents to fiction, writing medical thrillers that combine clinical precision with page-turning suspense. Her debut novel, Dissection, released in 2022, explores the tense intersection of medical crisis and political intrigue. And her latest novel, Change of Heart, continues in that tradition, offering a gripping narrative that tackles complex ethical dilemmas and richly drawn characters. Dr. Laporte, welcome to the podcast. We're thrilled to have you today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So Dr. Laporte, you've had an incredible journey from growing up in Italy to becoming cardiologist in the US. Can you take us back to the beginning and share what first inspired you to pursue medicine and what that path has been like for you over the years?
I decided that I wanted to be a doctor when I was actually 12 years old. And I still remember that day. I was sitting in a little terrace of my apartment building in Bologna, Italy. And I was thinking, you know, what can I do with my life? I mean, this is obviously something that I was thinking for over time, not just in that particular moment. But that particular moment, the decision, final decision came, and it never really wavered after that. But I was asking myself, what can I do with my faculty, you know, whatever I have, whatever intelligence I have and all that? What could be the most important thing I could do with my life? And medicine came to mind because, you know, you save lives if you do a good job. So I couldn't think of anything else much more important than that. And it's interesting because I actually did not tell my parents for many years because at the time, you know, a woman in Italy in the 50s, you're supposed to just get married and have children. And so even like when I finally told my parents, because I had to tell them at the age of 18, because in Italy, you don't have college. So you have to, at the age of 18, you decide what you're going to do after you finish high school. And I had to go to the university at the Faculty of Medicine. And even after I told them, my mother kept on saying, but what are you going to do when you're becoming a pediatrician? You know, because there was nothing. I mean, you know, if you go to be a doctor, at least be a pediatrician. You have to do with children, you know. You work in schools or something. So it's kind of interesting how he has developed since, because obviously now a woman can be anything she wants. But it wasn't so at the time when I made that decision. There weren't too many women going into medicine.
Yeah, it's come a long way since then. I remember even my grandmother was one of the first in the family to be a working woman of that age. And I think that's inspired generations past to where I am now as well. So you've definitely done that as well for the generations that come after you.
You know, it's interesting because my mother was a teacher and she was very adventurous. She would go on a Lambretta up in the little hills of Italy during the winter, even when she was pregnant. I mean, it was, if you think about it, I mean, it's you know, it's probably terrible, but it's very brave. And, but then she quit after she had me. Mm-hmm. And she told me, during my life, you know, you should work, because she actually, I think she regretted it. I mean, I became a project, but she actually recognized that she had to do it all over again. She would work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she would take care of me. And probably it would have been better for me, because I probably wouldn't have had some of the things I had to overcome by being so attached to my mother, not to go into psychotherapy now.
So what made you pursue cardiology, after internal medicine?
That was a midlife crisis, a professional midlife crisis.
Okay.
I practiced internal medicine. So, well, I came, to United States after medical school, and I did my specialty in internal medicine. And then I practiced internal medicine for almost 20 years. And I got to a point where it was two things. One, I got kind of I felt almost like I had exhausted my thing, and I needed some different challenges. Well, another thing was the widespread, I don't know if we can go into that politics now, but of managed care. And I became a gatekeeper, and I did not like that. So I just wanted to become something. And my favorite specialty was cardiology. And it was extremely hard. I was in my late 40s when I had to a fellowship. So it took me 3 years of working part-time in research and this and that, and getting a partner for my practice and transferring my patients over. And it took me, finally, I matched with the VA UCLA program. And so I became a cardiologist, and I was very, very happy I did. It just brought new challenges and everything. And so I'm happy I did. It was my midlife crisis was successful.
I'm so glad to hear that. So what started your interest in writing medical thrillers, and how has your medical background kind of shaped the like authenticity and the depth to the storytelling that you do?
That was a late development because when I was in school in Italy, I have to confess, I hated writing. I just did not like it at all. We had this assignment in class, assignment that was called Il Tema, the theme, and they would give you a title, and you would have to write for 2 hours and give it in, and in class. So no research, nothing. We didn't have any
Like handwrite
Google
it.
or anything, just that's it. It was like a title, and I hated that. It was like a nightmare for me that day, and so I never really imagined that I would become a writer or an author. And when I came to the United States, I barely spoke English again. It was a challenge to. I still remember my first day, my internship with my little dictionary in my pocket, like the only thing I knew was about bedpans because I had worked as an aide just to learn the language for a couple of months. But to make a long story short, when I was actually thinking of getting into cardiology, I started reading other things just to find new interest, and I came across a book, a short book by the author Ayn Rand, the one who wrote Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead. She also wrote a book, a nonfiction book about the art of fiction. And if you actually know that book, which is very short, but if you know it, every word of it, I mean, you are a great author. Because she has really, I mean, it's unbelievable the way it is described. And so I was just almost like flabbergasted to find out that if you are an author, you create your own world, and then you invent your characters you want to meet, and then you can make them do anything you want. So it was like incredible. I said, I'm gonna try writing a novel. And so that's how I started.
That's really cool. Do you
And it
also
took
like
3 years.
storyboard
Excuse me?
when you write your novels? Do you do like a storyboard where you're creating the world? Like, what's your creative process like?
Right. I do not do a storyboard. Maybe for some certain books is necessary, but I don't find it helpful. I have not found it helpful so far.
Okay.
But I certainly have to have in my head at least the full story. I cannot sit down, and that is one is an advice that they give you actually in this book. It's not a good idea just to see where your characters bring you. Like I actually hear people doing that. I have to have the whole story, including the climax and how it ends and everything. Now, I have an outline which only I can read, really. And I throw everything in the kitchen sink in my outline. If some dialogue occurs to me that would be nice, whatever comments or and but so it's very rough. But I need to have the story. Now, of course, as you write the actual book, things may change. I mean, in change of heart, I actually completely changed the end after I finished my book because I realized that the protagonist was not in the climax. Excuse me. She was in a hospital bed, so that's not acceptable. So obviously things may change and you can change stuff around as you write. But I think at the beginning it's very important to have the whole story, and you can be as detailed as you want in your outline, but I don't think it's good to just go by the seat of your pants with the story.
That's really cool that you have like almost the big picture and then you kind of fill in the details and things vary and change, but you have
Right.
like where you want them to go.
And it makes sense because the possibility art is a very selective, is a selective. You have to select something, right? So it's selective recreation of reality, basically. But how can you be selective? The possibilities are infinite. So you have to have a standard to select something. And your standard is your story, is your central idea. Because otherwise, you can just start talking about something that may be very interesting and you find it very delightful or challenging or thrilling, but if it has nothing to do with the story, that if it doesn't push you along into your in your story, and then it should be out.
No, that
So
makes
you're going
sense.
to end up, if you don't have a story, you're going to end up writing a lot of stuff that then you have to cut off, and you're going to end up with the writer's block. I mean, anybody has writer's blocks now and then, but it usually means that you're not clear on something, that you have to put down whatever it is that you used to write, and you have to think, maybe do more thinking about your story. Where is it going? Where should it go?
That's good advice. Can you share some challenges you may have faced during writing and publishing your first novel?
Actually, writing was the easy part. Publishing was the most difficult thing I've done in my life. I mean, I'm not saying the most important, but certainly the most difficult. I mean,
It's like you've done a lot of really
it was
like
harder than raising my kids. It was actually, was, I mean, saving his life was a walk in the park. I mean, I'm
That
exaggerating, but it was a terrible, gruesome deal
okay.
because I wrote these books and I wanted people to read them, obviously. I don't just write for myself. I write for myself as while I'm writing, but I just,
You
you
wanted to
want
share the
people to read
story.
your writing. Otherwise, there is no final destination there. And so, it just took me years and years. It took me serious work. When I finally decided, okay, I'm going to do this seriously, not just for as a hobby. I got a writing coach, I got editors, I got this and that, and despite everything, I got rejection after rejection. I mean, I got more than 300 rejections for my first book between the publishers and the agents and the publishers. So, and finally I made it. So you just have to keep on going. And the rejection always hurt. I mean, you don't develop crocodile skin from rejection. You develop it from aging, but not from rejection. You hurt if with each one of them because this is your baby. You rejected it. You put all this work, and then they don't even read it, and they reject it before you even read it. Because if they don't like your query, they don't read it. And so you feel terrible. And the only treatment that I find that is useful against rejection is to write more. Because when you write more, you can say, well, you didn't like that, but this is new. I
You're
haven't
channeling
seen
it to a
this
different
yet.
thing.
So that's the only thing. So I ended up, with four full books by the time I got a publisher. So now they're coming out one at a time because he loves them.
Lovely.
But
You did
yeah,
the work ahead of time.
it was really hard. I mean, it's just very discouraging.
Yeah, I think the publishing world is really hard to get into, especially like for new authors. So it's really cool that.
By the way, one time one of the agents suggests maybe you should publish as a man. I want you to know, even today. I mean, it's really incredible if you think about it. I mean, how many women authors are best-selling authors? I mean, it's like,
All the authors I read are women.
can you imagine? I mean, it's just amazing.
Yes. That is crazy. Someone said that to you. It's like, it's about the writing. It's what it should be
Right.
about.
I mean,
Yeah. Well, I'm glad the publisher said yes and that you kept going and that we have the books. And I'm excited for the next few books as well. So my next question is about your books. So your novels feature complex characters. They're navigating intense medical ethical dilemmas. Is there a particular storyline that's like really meaningful to you or was like personally challenging for you to write?
I have to say that dissection was a pleasure. Right. I was so excited. It was very strange because I was very, when I got the idea for dissection, I was very depressed about my first book because there was a book before this one, which has
Okay.
not will be published next year. But and I it didn't re it received so many rejection, and he had gone through a lot of changes. But in any case, I was so depressed, and I because I'd done everything, you know, the editors, everything, and still getting a rejection. So I was watching TV and I saw this commercial about aspirin. There was a man in a suit, and his secretary hands him a card. Then the card says, "Your heart attack will arrive tomorrow." And of course, the commercial goes on and say, "You know, it would be nice to know so that you can take aspirin and you don't get it." And I just was like frozen. I said, "That is the book that's gonna get published. Your heart attack, I change it, will arrive within an hour." And so that's when people get this card. And it goes from heart attacks to almost World War III because it turns into a political thriller. And so that was really, I mean, it was obviously the medical part was easy. Because it's cardiology, it's a dissection of the arteries. But the political part was challenging, although it was a pleasure. But the political part, I had to do a lot of research to get it right. Because you think you know things. Like I thought I knew all about the presidential succession and all that. But there are so many things that when you start writing, you have to be precise. And so I had to do a lot of research. My husband, I was afraid the FBI would show up because I was researching, you know, weapon mass destructions
Your search
atomic
history must have
bombs
been,
and where they're located, you know,
yeah, your search history must have been really interesting.
how far the missiles will take to go to Los Angeles or New York. It was really interesting. But that was a challenge to some extent because I didn't know enough. And it took me, you know, several months to really search it, but it was pleasurable. It was
What
fun.
good. I'm so glad. So what message or emotional like impact do you hope readers get from or take away from your books?
Was in general, I like to write about heroes with no fear clay. I mean, you read so many books. And you know, they're all mixed, these people. I mean, it's very hard to find a book that's black and white. That some people are good people and some people, I mean, of course you can have little things, but it's like a lot of times I finish a book, I put my time into it, and I am not satisfied because you know the bad guys don't get what they really deserve, and things are left hanging, and the good guy, well, it's good, but you know, he's got all these problems. It turns out the twist, you know, is not really as good as again. It could be twist and all that, but I like to have people who are heroes. And they don't have to wear capes. They're usually regular human beings who find themselves in situations when they have to make big, important choices. And they have integrity. So they make the right choices, although it's very difficult to make the right choice in this particular situation. And it not only that, you know, it is very challenging, it is very difficult. And there is a lot of danger in making these choices, but they still do, and they're very scared. Courage is doing the right thing despite your fear. It's not like you're not scared.
Yeah,
So
the
I
fear's
like
there.
that message to go to my readers that if you Give me your time and read my books. At the end, you will not be left hanging, and you'll know who are your heroes. And again, somebody may start off not being a very nice person, but the arc shows that he had it in himself to be a hero, and he is a hero at the end. So I like that the particular arc in all my books. Of course, there are particular messages. For example, a change of heart. I should say this because it's not intuitive. And change of heart obviously is a background of transplant. And so, again, although a novel is not really is written just for entertainment, is not written to teach you anything or to necessarily convince you of anything. It is about an important subject. So hopefully it'll make people think. You know, there's a lot of problems with the heart transplants. There aren't enough heart. There could be more. Maybe if we could do something about that in certain ways. But because of that, you know, there is a black market. And so a lot of bad things that can happen. And so there is a message, and I like my readers to get that message and to develop their own opinion about that. Again, you know, I'm just there telling a story and entertaining people with the story. But then they can, you know, they can take that. And I mean, the reader is not passive. The reader does a job. He gets all these things that happen, all these events and the characters, how they develop and everything, and he forms his own idea. And obviously, there's going to be an overlap between the idea of the reader arrives, a certain idea is going to be overlapping with the idea the author had to begin with. But there may be a lot of new developments that the author thought about.
It's a conversation and it's
Exactly.
cool. Are there any themes or topics you're eager to explore in your future writing projects?
Yes, my next book is about cryogenics.
Oh,
It's coming out
interesting.
early 2026, and it's called Defrosted.
I love that. I
And it's
love
the
your
story
titles, I want to say.
Defrosted is a story of a doctor who gets frozen in our time, and he gets
Oh.
defrosted 200 years in the future because there is a problem with the world that only he can solve because he had already solved it in our
Interesting.
time. And now this problem is reappearing out of the blue, and nobody knows how it got there 200 years later. And this doctor was not very, very favorable to, you know, because of politics and everything. It was not very, the government didn't really like him and at the time because he was constantly, you know, complaining about things, about health cares and this and that. So nobody wants to defrost it. And it was also illegal to defrost people in 200 years from now. But they have to. So they have no choice. The only one. And he gets defrosted at a time that's much worse than the time where he got frozen. Because now, unless your life belongs to society, basically, 200 years from now. And unless you do something just for the good of society, you know, they're gonna let you die, you know. And so unless he solves this problem, is basically doomed. I mean, the whole world is doomed, so he's gonna be doomed anyway. But so it's very, and people are like kind of, it's not a very good society. A lot of people are lying and cheating and this and that. And how is he gonna keep his integrity? How is he and how is he going to do his work? And so I'm very excited about that book coming out
Well,
next year.
that sounds really interesting. And it's like a almost sci-fi futuristic,
Yes, it's
but
fu very futuristic and on the verge of sci-fi.
lovely. Okay, my last question for you is about just giving advice to women. You've had such a incredible career in many fields and a big journey coming from Italy, starting a career in the US with speaking no English at all. Do you have any advice for women who are in medicine and who are going into medicine like me?
Yes, I do have advice. Medicine, you have to be very passionate to be in medicine. It's And the way it's changing today, you have to be even more passionate than you had to be before. I mean, it's if that's your passion, of course, go for it
Yeah.
and do your best and put all your abilities into it, and don't let anybody stop you or tell you that you can't do something. Because if this is a country, I have to say, this is the best country still on earth. If you want something in this country, if you really want something, you work very, very hard, and it's not irrational like what you want, you're gonna get it. There is a very good chance you actually get it. And it's not so in all the other countries. I could have never done what I've done here in Italy. I could have never gone into cardiology in my 40s. In Italy, I couldn't have even gone into cardiology at the very beginning, at the time. I mean, maybe now it's a little easier, but again, it was a male world at the time. Unless you had actually connection, sometimes not very good connection, you the woman had a hard time to go into a specialty. It is not so now. I mean, here I think the world is maybe because I came from there, to me it looks like a great world here, And I think we came a long, long way, and so my advice is go for it. Don't let anybody stop you. Just
Lead
work
your
very
life
hard
with
if
passion.
you're passionate to some about something. Put all your strength into it, and you'll
Yeah,
get it.
lead your life with passion. I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Laporte, for sharing your incredible journey with us today and all your insights. We're so excited to see what stories you'll bring to life next, and we'll definitely be reading. For those listening, you can find Dr. Laporte's books, including Dissection and Change of Heart, at christinalaporte.com or wherever you get your books. And that's a wrap on this episode of Our Voices, Our Future. We hope today's conversation inspired you, challenged you, reminded you of the power of raising your voice. The fight for equity doesn't stop here. Join us in the movement. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you love this episode, share it with someone who needs to hear it. Until next time, stay bold, stay vocal, and keep the conversation going. This is Our Voices, Our Future.